Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners. Good morning, honey. I just want to say that I thank God for you and also for our special guest, House, who
yes.
I believe is my dear friend. And I love this man to life. He's actually a counselor, friend, a brother, an advisor,
yes.
And a number of other things to this house. And you know, I'm on my way to an expo. I told my wife I wanted to just drop in. I'm working this morning with U.S. Congresswoman Robin Kelly in her third annual housing expo. And those of you that are listening, if you need help with your home, or even if you want to purchase a home, you want to be at, you want to have your face in this place. It's from 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the New Early Childhood Learning Center at 729 Engle Street in Dalton, Illinois. And, we have exhibitors there from Chase, BMO Harris, Nation Star, Aquin, of course, South Suburban Housing Center, Habitat for Humanity, the Illinois Treasurer's Office, Spanish Coalition, Bank of America, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, HUD, FHA, IDA. There are many, the Illinois Attorney General's Office. There are many exhibitors over here. And it's like your one-stop shop to get whatever you need. Bishop House, I'm anxious to hear what you're saying. I'm actually on the road. I'm not breaking the law. I got a Bluetooth phone. So I'm on the phone, but I'm not breaking the law. But Bishop House, I'm anxious to hear what you have to say to us this morning. God bless
Amen.
You, and I'm praying with you. Love you guys. Love you, honey.
Love you, dear. We're bringing this morning Bishop Terry House. You know he's Chicago's own and greatest. He has a new book release entitled Spiritual Warfare. And this is part of the part three deception that I have told you all, and I promised my listeners that emailed me that have overran my emails that I will bring on a professional expert that we can talk about this, because we're not able to talk about it in the church because we're too busy fighting over chicken legs and thighs and who's going to get the fried chicken, who's going to get the baked chicken. So, Ted Bishop House, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, Evangelist. I'm doing fine. I just want to say that opening by W.R. Sanders, that is a hot track.
Yes. Yeah, you got to have it in your library. I'm telling you, that's called Bad.
That is a great track. I can see me cruising down the highway preaching, listening to that.
Yeah. Bad Bishop House, the church is in trouble.
It is. And you know, one of the reasons why Spiritual Warfare was a book that I actually released in 2002, they asked me to re-release it again.
Okay.
And we released it better than it was before, because I was even stating back then that the church is moving into a more carnal, secular way. And the reason why they're doing that is because they want to control people. Well, the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And if the spirit of the Lord is there, you're going to follow the spirit of the Lord. So they slowly moved into a more carnal way so they can control people by taking people out of the spirit. And if you just reduce the spirit to a song, making people believe that praise and worship is just a song. I was saying on last night, I said, when Jesus said the true worshipers said worship him in spirit and in truth, he was never talking about a song.
That's right.
Songs that don't even mention the name of Jesus. And Acts 4:12 declares that there's no other name under heaven that a man can be saved by, but by the name of Jesus. And most of this stuff don't even carry Jesus' name in it. But it's just more declassification of the spirit. It's more deception. Exactly what you're talking about. It's deception of supernatural, monumental proportions that is happening right before our eyes, going on in church. And the Bible speaks to this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. But here's the one. Spiritual what? Wickedness in where?
High places.
And that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with spiritual wickedness sitting in church in high places. Right before our very eyes, deceiving the people, wreaking havoc, causing confusion among the body of Christ, among families, all of this happening. Right, you know, I was sharing with somebody how I got a good friend who goes to church, and her pastor will not even let her participate with her family.
Ain't that something?
Won't even let her participate, and have turned her against her, used the ministry to turn her against her own family. And God knows if anything happens to that woman, she doesn't have nobody but her family.
And you know, Bishop, I'm reviewing something that a lot of people don't know, and it's called reading. It's a big thing that's sweeping the nation called research and reading. And I ran up on something that says spiritual warfare is the Christian concept of taking a stand against preternatural evil forces. It is based on the belief in evil spirits which are able to intervene in human affairs.
Exactly. You can even take it further what Jesus said in Matthew, the 12th chapter, about the 42nd verse. He begins to describe something that I find absolutely stunning. He describes deliverance. He says, once an unclean spirit has gone from a man. This is a person who just got delivered. An unclean spirit is gone from a man. It doesn't die. It goes in dry places. Seeking
dry places.
Rest,
but
can't find none.
Can't find none. That's right.
But he says to himself, so now you got an unclean spirit in dry places who can sink. He says to himself, I'll go back into the host from whence I came. So he comes back and he finds the whole swept clean and garnished and empty. But he says to himself, you know what? The last time I went in, they were able to get me.
Okay, Bishop, we lost you. from the conversation until he gets back
on. I'm still here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, he must have hit his phone by mute, accidentally, by mute. Bishop, are you there? Okay. Well, I'm picking up from there. But what he's saying is he'll log back in.
That was me talking. That was me talking, honey.
It's Bishop. Bishop, are you there? Okay. No, I'm saying I'm gonna pick up from where he was at. He's telling the truth because we have it so prevalent in the church today. It's causing a lot of families to be divided. And the thing about it is that, here you go. Go ahead, Bishop, pick it up.
I was just saying that he was saying that they enter back into the person. And he said the last state of the person is worse than the first. And the reason why the last state is worse than the first, because in the beginning you had an unsaved person getting delivered. Now you have a saved person that's possessed with 7, 8 evil spirits.
Yep, that's right.
And you can look and see, okay, well, wait a minute, that's kind of far-fetched. No, Jesus said it. And ask yourself why these people act the way they act. And they say it. If he's wrong, ask yourself, how can leaders, how can women who know they're sleeping with the pastor go by the first lady and go, hi, first lady?
I don't understand. And my thing is, this is what gets me, oh, my God, my skin is crawling. You sit up here, and, I'm just going to be honest. When I mentioned yesterday about how these women do, I have a friend that has a spouse that's been whoring around for years. And the crazy part is that these women that these men come in contact with, for some reason, they get a bump on their head and get fascinated about what these women do. I remember I was telling my husband the other day, I'm just going to say it, at my son's grandfather's church on the west side, basically this woman came in, and she walked like a peacock, had the track living in her hair, and all that other stuff, and the women was just crazy, and the men, their eyeballs fell out of their head, like old boy from that Lincoln commercial, you know, he always said, Judge, take it to the bailiff, take it to my chambers. I mean, and that's what, and I'm like, these women walk around with no shame, and they have the nerve and the audacity to sit up and act like they are so for the pastor when they laying with them, and the men are just that far too, Bishop. Because my thing
absolutely
is, your 20% is just a second. That's all. 20% means you're only going to get a second. The other stuff, just like Tyler Perry made it perfect, a readaptation. The 20% is what? Sex. That's what 20% is. She ain't going to clean. She's not going to take out the garbage. She's not going to wash the dishes. She's not going to cook. She's not going to dry clothes. She's not going to wash clothes. She's not going to do bad stuff. And then they go to the hotel. Bishop, let's go into it. These men, when they go on these conventions, whether it's Church of God in Christ, whether it's Baptist, whether it's Episcopalian, CME, AME, Apostolic, PAW, Presbyterian, name it, claim it, they set up time to go to these hotels. They will get their hotel in their name, but then they will go to another little hotel off away from all of the action, and they will pay straight out cash to go lay out with the woman.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it goes even further than that. They will also introduce preachers to certain dating sites where you put in certain information and meet certain women in these particular towns. And you know what makes it so bad, though? I always tell people, I say, for you to sit back and watch this, is even a bigger sin than the person who actually does it. We need more people to cry out and say that this is wrong, but the people, instead of just staying home and just giving up on church and giving up on God, we're asking people, okay, if people bully people to come out, we're asking bad police officers to turn in other bad police officers, bad doctors to turn in bad doctors, but it's okay for your pastor to sin.
See what I'm saying?
Don't turn him in. See, we got to break this, sweep it under the cover. This comes back from my mother's days in Mississippi.
There
are people
exactly,
who I know personally
exactly.
that are raped in church. I know
That's
people
it.
That have been raped in church. And they
yes.
have swept it under the cover, making these young women not report this to the police. Not, they were brutally raped by leaders, and the parents thought to swept it under the cover because we swept a lot of this under the cover, and this is sexual
mm-hmm.
immorality at its worst.
That's right.
Ripping
that's
children,
right. That's right.
Ripping families apart. There are some children I know who probably will never come to God because their parents live one life at church and lived a whole different one at home.
Don't you know they do? Don't you know they do? And this is the thing that the young people that are in ministry, you know, like in their 20s and their teens that really want to be saved, that really want to, you know, be in the ministry, they're seeing what these leaders do with women. And they pick up, even family members would pick up that same, you know, the banner saying, well, we could do it like this. The father could be hauling around, and the son pick up the same thing. The son-in-law put the same thing. It's a domino effect. Some of them, not all of them. This is what divides families. And then the crazy part would get me, Bishop, is that these men, they do these actions, but guess what they're doing? They're secretly killing their wives.
Secretly, exactly.
They come up with cancer, aneurysm. I recall an incident many, 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 many years ago where the preacher was messing around with his wife's best friend, and they worked in the same place. And when they worked in the same place, turn around, the wife ain't never been sick a day in her life, had one little body ache that she couldn't get rid of, but I really believe deeply she found out, and it just took her out of here. 2 days later, she dead, and a few months down the line, he married his wife's best friend. Hello.
But that's what happens when you sit there and you become an enabler of sin. You know, a lot of people who recognize that things are wrong. I know a pastor, this is true, in his church who has 9 children by 9 different women in his church right now as we speak. And when the lady thought about leaving him, when she really found out about it, they put her in pulpit as co-pastor, and now she's hushing all that up.
Come on now, come on.
She wasn't nothing before that, but when it all got out what he was doing, they made her co-pastor, and now she feels authority and power weighs over all those transactions, sinful transactions that happened right in church.
You see what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. And this is what's
And the way we have to deal with this, though, we have to get into the supernatural realm, and we have to pray against these demons.
Yes,
that's
all
the church.
Is.
We have to war against these evil spirits, the LGBT, the lesbian gay community, boldly trying to come into church and be gay. And this is what the old preachers used to warn us about, that if somebody wasn't right, they had an evil spirit. And if we settled around them long enough, that evil spirit would just start to pass itself around through church.
Mm-hmm.
They used to make their children sit down when we prayed because we were casting out demons and stuff. Well, now
that's
the children
right,
have to sit down.
Right.
People are walking around, everything.
Uh-huh.
You're trying to get rid of evil spirits, and then you wonder why your children and stuff are acting the way that they're acting.
And see, that's the thing, that because I remember back in my home church, St. John, way many, many years ago, back in the 70s, the early 70s, if someone was possessed with the spirit of demonic forces within them, they told us to sit still, don't move, don't turn your head, pray. That's what they said. And I remember a few of them in my church had that, and service would immediately be stopped because we didn't want to get that spirit into us. I remember a young lady. I remember this girl. I think her name was Angela. She had a twin sister. She belonged to one of our co-sister church back in the day when Elder Johnny B. Willard was living. And she was a member of his church, because St. John and New Birth are sister churches. And this woman, she had demons in her. And she was, all of a sudden, foam would come out of her mouth, her head be flopping from side to side. She went to that back and slammed that door. I'm like, oh, my God. See, that they talk about omen, and omen 1, and 2, and 3, and Damien, the final conflict. You ain't seen it till you see it in person. And that's when I know that Satan was no joke. That stuff gets in you.
Let me give you a prime. prime example. I won't call any names, but everybody who's anybody knows who I'm talking about to prove my point further. And this is why people should get my book, Spiritual Warfare, because it talks about prophecy and it talks about what demons do, what psychics do. They divine the familiar spirit. And we have a well-known prophet around the country who has been clearly busted. We have a well-known psychic who divined by a familiar spirit and gave some prophecies that didn't come true. And we have this prophet who was watching this psychic site and went into a church and prophesied word for word what this psychic said, and none of it came true, and he was busted for plagiarism. Now, everybody really knows that when this psychic gave this prophecy on YouTube, that it came way before his. Busted clear as day as a fake prophet. And that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. As they try to rise in this last day, God's going to bust them open. Then some people cried out against it, but then a group of people decided to let's sweep it under the cover. And cover this prophet and hide what he has done, even though he was following a psychic and bringing in the spirit of divination, where you divine by a familiar spirit and not under the utterance of the Holy Spirit. This is what's wrong with the church. That is deception. And it makes you wonder now how many other people are doing this. And you can clearly tell it's not the Spirit of God because God is not interested in telling you. God is interested in giving you a Rahima word. You are a Rahima word or that body that you're prophesying to in that church. He's not interested in giving you world events because you know what world events are going to happen. Jesus said, except he shortened the days of the flesh, there wasn't going to be nobody saved. Things in the world ain't going to get better. They're going to get worse. And he said that this is just going to be the beginning of sorrow. So we already understand world events. But in the middle of that, sometimes we can find a little grace and God can give us a blessing or a miracle in the midst of that storm that we're going through. So God is interested in prophesying to you. And prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter is only for people that are saved. Why do you want to prophesy to the world? Tongues are for people who are not saved.
That's prophecy is
for people who are saved. So we see this, and now people saying, okay, let's just sweep this under the cover because we like this guy. Let's just pretend that he didn't use this psychic. And that's deception. That's deceiving the people of God, and the people of God are letting it happen. Well, if my pastor says
that's
okay,
right. Well,
it's okay that he follow a psychic, or he say the same thing a psychic said a year and a half before.
And this is what's going on. And see, a lot of things are created just for an escape boat to have adulterated relationships. You know, anytime you are in the ministry and your eyes are not focused and your spirit are not focused on the word of God, all it tells me is that you never really got saved for real. You just graduated into salvation under a name or a title, but not getting delivered from your nasty ways. I remember this guy in my home church, and he used to get up and testify in service every Sunday about how he thanked God that he saved his life, because on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he had 19 women every day. He testified that.
Wow.
19 women. He gave depict description of how he was entertaining them. He would throw their legs up in the air. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God. Keep it under the blood. Keep it under the blood. Well, he's trying to get delivered here. He letting you know, I'm really trying to get in this thing, but now I'm trying to get it out. But see, then they couldn't handle the truth. Now you can sit up. And what means, Harry? I don't understand this. How can a leader sit up and carry on adulterous affairs with women under his auspices, but yet when he get home, he's a whole different person? Isn't that like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
And it's more like Romans, the first chapter, where God has already given up on these people, and they have a reprobated mind. And listen, and they do those things which are inconvenient, and they use the word of God to justify sin instead of just bringing people out of it.
Come on, Bishop.
I can repent. Sure, you can repent, but let's not forget Romans chapter 6, where it says, "So we continue in sin, that grace may abound."
God forbid.
That's my thing for the rest of this year. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue
that's
so
right.
long on the end? And if you go to a coffin and somebody is dead, you can talk all you want to talk. You can cry all you want to cry. They are not getting up the corner to remove their heart. Then the corner then gave them a V-shaped cut and took everything out of them and cut their head, took their brain out. And you can cry and scream all day long. They are not giving up. And if they did, you're not going to stand there long enough to have a conversation. You're going to be gone.
That's it.
You're going to run. So how can be dead to a thing and then continue? I'll tell you how. God has given some of these people a reprobated mind. We're sitting under reprobates.
These reprobates are
riding our spirits, and it's killing us, making us do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do because out of frustration. We're just frustrated.
That's it. And see, you made a point. You're making a point. Come on.
We're frustrated because most of us feel powerless, and it don't make sense to run from church to church. I believe in keeping thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, but you need the war in the spirit. Stop praying against these things, cursing these things with the blood of Jesus that are not right, so the real spirit of God can come in, and maybe the person may have a chance. But I'm of the school that I believe that God has given up, just like he said in Romans 1st chapter. He's given them over to uncleanness. Look at what you're saying. You're saying that these people are deliberately in adulterous affairs with no conscience.
No conscience at all. No conscience, no guilt at all whatsoever.
And everything is fine. You can only do that if you're a reprobate. And I got news for you. Some of them have surpassed reprobate and went into apostate. They just don't care.
They don't care. But then they'll try to make you look like that you ain't got defense when you approach it. That's the thing that I don't like, because don't tell me I don't see nothing and I'm looking at what you done. And I'm not being funny. That was the bishop that my father-in-law, needless to say, had in his jurisdiction that approached my husband back when we first got married and said, I'm the bishop's son. And my husband looking at him like, I don't remember you being in the playpen with me. You know, this is what he's saying. And then I'm like sitting there like that. Automatically, Bishop, I picked up. I said, he a hoe. He a hoe. Automatically. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him. He said, well, I'm Robert. So, you know, he said, he my spiritual. Oh, now you want to switch up and lie. Stop lying, sucker. So this is the thing that caught me though, Terry. Wasn't so much of the presentation of how he did it. He said, "Oh man, I'm gonna bring you down there to preach in my church. I'm gonna take care of you, dog. I'm gonna take care of you." And he said, "Well, my wife and I would love to come." He stopped the conversation right there. See, I knew what he was doing. Because see, what he wanted to do was he wanted to get my husband down there so he can get my husband with a woman. I already know the game.
You know what?
I said, okay. Then wait a minute. The same Negro, yes, he's a Negro. He came to the church the week of the workers' meeting and prophesied to another elder's wife, did not look at the rock on her finger. He's sitting up there lusting. And when he prophesied to her, he said, "You're going to have to beat off all them men to choose a husband." And her black husband is sitting right there in the pulpit. And I turned around and said, "It's not a husband up there." And they looked in the back and laughed. I said, "See, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all folks had a Holy Ghost, and you can't even discern game."
Exactly.
He was lusting after that man's wife. Let's call it what it is. And I told my husband, I said, "You know what? Y'all was sitting up there. I wouldn't care if it's with that. I would say, yeah, man, that's her husband right here. So you bust this kind of spirits out.
Exactly.
You bust it out. Don't go in the office and apologize. You bust it out. Because he said it for the open. Come on.
I can't begin to tell you how many preachers have met with me and said, look, how, why do you still care about that doctrine stuff? You know, you need to just start going after money. And as long as these people can raise money, these leaders don't care what they do. As long as you have $1,000 lines, $500 lines, and people are ignorant enough to believe they can buy their way to heaven, they don't care about holiness. That's why a lot of people don't recognize they're going to get it for getting in these lines, giving up this money just for prestige and stuff, and helping these, enabling these people to sin. But if it wasn't the money thing, that never would have happened. He would have called that met woman's husband up there. If it had been my wife, I'd have been up there anyway.
There you go.
I'd have been up there anyway. I'm from the old school. You know, I don't believe that preachers even touch women in certain places. They got these preachers now touching women's breasts and stuff and rubbing women's stomachs. I'm from the old. No, if it's my wife, you do something like that, you have a problem right in church.
You see what I'm saying? It's going to be on. You talking about a battle of Beirut. You ain't seen nothing yet.
It's going to be a problem right there in the sanctuary. Calling women up and touching women any kind of way. I seen a picture one time online. Somebody showed me and asked me, said, ain't this going too far? This man was just rubbing this woman's breast and all that. I said, he putting lust on this woman.
That's what he's doing.
He's putting those spirits of lust on this woman. He should have got some of the women of the church, and he could have touched one of the mother's back or one of the evangelist's back, and that woman could have prayed for that woman. Jesus didn't touch nobody sometimes. He just spoke the word.
That's right. We forget about that.
I know you're busy. If you just speak the word, if you say it, I know it's going to be done. Got back
that's
and the
it.
Daughter was fine. Why you got to be up rubbing all on these women and rubbing their stomach and rubbing their breasts and stuff? That's out of place. And a lot of first ladies are going to pay for it. They're going to pay for it.
That's right. Those first ladies that I really say, we ain't talking about the mistress. We're talking about the ones that really say.
Yeah, there was the ones who are married and know that your mate shouldn't be rubbing on no woman in no a certain particular way and things like that. I don't think you should be rubbing on men either and stuff like that.
That's right. We pray for people from a distance
all the time. I was praying with a brother last week. He came out of A.A. Allen's ministry. His name is Brother McDowell. Real good friends with Sid Roth and TBN. And last week we were talking, he in Dallas, Texas, and his daughter told him, she called from Atlanta saying that she had cancer. And she had bad cancer. And we joined in a prayer group on the phone with people that were long distance. And we began to curse the devil and curse that cancer. And she called him yesterday and told him that they couldn't find it.
Wow.
They were sure they did tests and everything, but when we got through cursing that, I mean, it was like a prayer group of people by telephone. We didn't have to lay hands, rub nobody's breast, rub nobody nothing. We just cursed that devil, and she called him yesterday and told him that they couldn't find it.
Ain't that something? It is
amazing. God is still a healer,
and the power
of God still exists, but we have to get under people who are really following the word of God the way it's supposed to be, who put themselves down and let Jesus increase. We must decrease. He must increase. That's right. People who have not put Jesus where he belongs on the high places, you're going to run into these problems.
Bishop, we are so excited, but we just ran out of time. But we thank you for coming on. We got to pick this up again next week. We got to really get into it. I appreciate you taking out your Saturday morning to be with us. And, brother, you know we always got you. Listen, tell the listeners and the viewers, where can they order your book?
They can write me at P.O. Box 1622, Sauk Village, Illinois. Just write me Bishop Terry House. The book is Spiritual Warfare, P.O. Box 1622 Sauk Village, S-A-U-K, Illinois, 60411. and we will get it out to you. The book is $20, and we thank God for you, and we want you to support Dr. Sanders and her husband, Pastor Robert R. Sanders II, because they are truly, truly good people in this last and evil day that we're in, and support their church and support what they're doing. He's out in the cold in Chicago right now.
Yeah.
I'm not in Chicago. I'm in the warmth. I'm in the warmth. Thank you, Jesus. But he's in the cold, and he's out there trying to help people, help them with their homes. And that tells you what kind of caliber of people you're dealing with right now. And I want to thank you for the opportunity, Dr. Sanders, to be on your show.
Well, you know, I thank you, Brother Terry, and it's something that the church is in, it's in trouble now, and it needs help, and it's time out for all these conventions where all the fussing, fighting, arguing, and bickering is taking place. You know, everybody is not getting saved the way they're supposed to get saved because they're too busy doing other stuff. But we're going to pick this back up next week. Man, I tell you, it's once again, you all get that book, and when you get the book, don't put it on your shelf and put coffee on top of it. Read. Reading is fundamental.
Read. That's what they stopped us from doing. They've stopped us from reading.
That's it. They had to cap us from reading. But until next week, go ahead, Brother Van. All right. Go ahead,
God bless
you.
I love y'all.
Love y'all too. Thank you.